and welcome, folks. This is Pastor Butch Paul, and yes, Melody's still on vacation. We'll be back, I think, this coming Friday, and I hope you don't mind me filling in for one more time on financial survival. I do the best I can, like I always do, and I hope it's something that maybe even help you understand something or encourage you or whatever it can do to make your day better and maybe educate on some things. That's our goal anyway, I do the best I can at all this, and Melody and Dave are much better at economic news than I am. That's my forte, but I do the way I can. But let's get started with the precious metals. Gold is still doing very well. Do you remember back a couple months ago, 3 months ago, it was 13 something, struggling to get to 14. They went to 15, back under down to 14. Well, it's holding steady over 15 now. It's 15.46.50, up $3.40 today. Silver is still doing pretty well. 1781, up 0.21%. Platinum also is doing well. All metals doing well. 983.73, up 12.77. And palladium is really doing well. 28.85.22, up $45.92. Folks, every day you postpone buying metals, another day losing money for your future. That's all I can say. I keep saying over and over and over again, I can't tell how thankful I am. I listened to some people years ago, back in the early 90s, that told me to think about these things. Back when silver was $3 an ounce. That's what it was back then. It is amazing. Amazing. Anyway, but you do need to call Melody up and talk to her at 800-375-4188. They have got a special going on. I heard Dave talk about it yesterday. Silver Eagles and a 10-ounce gold coin on special. You need to call and ask Carla about that and see what she has to say about that. I mean, it certainly would be a great start, folks. But if you can't afford that, order some Silver Eagles. Order one small piece of gold, whatever you can do. But start putting something back that's going to be a tangible asset to you in the near future. Believe me, all signs are pointing towards something huge happening financially. In every direction you can think of, natural disasters, wars, fiat currency collapse, it's all pointing towards this. Again, 800-375-4188. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain by being wise in this. Although, if you believe that the markets are for real and they're solid and not built on hot air, then invest in those. Invest in those. I mean, surely, just because the Fed invested over $6 trillion in the last 2 to 3 months into the banking system to keep it afloat, doesn't mean that the financial system down, does it? Of course not. The Dow was up 24.82 to 28,931. NASDAQ was down 13, 9,260. S&P was down 4.47 to 32.83. Oil was up 0.31 hundredth of a percent to 58.41, and the 10-year yield was down 0.03 percent. $1.82 left that out. But anyway, the markets look like they're really booming, folks. Record high, boom, up and back, and it's record highs. But gold did the same thing. Went up $2,000 an ounce last week briefly. And back down, but it went over a record high. But you see, the difference between gold and markets is this. Markets are paper. Gold is real. Silver is real. Precious metals are real. So you can do what you think best. That's up to you, of course. Obviously, it's your future, your children's future. See, sometimes I think we forget. And I've always tried to think this way, although certainly I'm not perfect at it, but not just myself and my wife, Marcia Jean, but my children, and maybe my grandchildren. The Bible says that a wise man keeps an inheritance for his children. So grandchildren. I'd like to leave them something, folks. I really would. I'd like to leave them maybe a piece of property they can sell if they want to, the house I live in now, and a little piece of land that comes with it, and maybe a few coins they could cash in. Something that would benefit them somehow with a few thousand dollars in their pocket to plan for their own children's college education. or to invest in something themselves. I mean, I think, but this is not only the right thing to do, I think it's a godly thing to do. You're not gambling, folks, when it comes to precious metals. You can't lose. When everything else goes to nothing, the price of gold and silver may come down. But it'll never go to nothing like the paper wheel. You can't lose with something tangible like gold and silver. You can't do it. Think about that. I have a lot of economic news to cover today, but I want to cover, first off, some things. One thing about one candidate running for Democratic office. Then I want to cover some news about President Trump. Then we'll get into economic news, because I think all this is important. Obviously, this, folks, if we live in this country, and we do, and what happens on the federal, state, and county, city levels affect us if we live here, and we do. So what our so-called leaders do, whether it's good or bad, affects us. And I'm not going to get into all the reasons why I don't trust our leaders. I'm not going to get into those, because it will take more than an hour, at least two or three broadcasts, to cover the reasons I don't trust any of them. But nonetheless, I thought this was quite telling. Only 45 people attended Bloomberg rally, even though Judge Judy was there and endorsed Bloomberg. Former New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg held a rally in San Antonio, Texas, with Judge Judy. However, despite spamming every commercial break over the weekend, only 45 people attended the rally. Wow. Talk about a letdown. But anyway, unlike everyone else in this race, he said, I think what's important is beating Donald Trump. He told about 45 supporters at a restaurant in San Antonio. Protesters Protesters toting Trump 2020 and U.S. flags could be spotted through the eatery's window. So there were people outside protesting Goldberg, all 45 of them inside that room. People outside were protesting him being there. And even with Judge Judy there, he couldn't rally but 45 people. You know, folks, I don't know Judge Judy. I'd like to thank for the type of situation in this country today. I think she's a good negotiator, a good go-between two different parties that disagree, and I think she's shown some wisdom in that. I don't know anything about her except to say that. But when it comes to endorsing a candidate, to endorse, in my mind, any mainstream candidate is insane. But Goldberg's going to be one of the worst. I mean, think about it. I mean, Bloomberg. I mean, think about it. I just don't want to say, just because someone is good at one thing doesn't mean they're smart in everything, obviously. And to think that someone is, I would think, as intelligent as Judge Judy appears to be, she could see through this, but apparently not. Apparently not. And I certainly don't trust her morally, because she supports homosexuals and everything else. I don't trust her morally at all. Now, we know that the impeachment is going to be up for trial in the Senate, supposedly. But the GOP leadership said there aren't 51 votes to dismiss Trump articles of impeachment, so there aren't enough votes in the Senate to dismiss the charges. But nonetheless, Senator Roy Blunt, Republican of Missouri, told reporters on Monday that the Senate Republican caucus doesn't have the votes to dismiss articles of impeachment against President Trump, who endorsed an outright dismissal over the weekend. I think our members generally are not interested in a motion to dismiss. Certainly there aren't 51 votes for a motion to dismiss, Blunt, the number four Senate Republican, told reporters after a closed-door leadership meeting. Republicans have warned for months that they will not dismiss the two articles of impeachment against Trump, predicting a trial will end with votes on either acquitting or convicting him. You know, I want to say the Republicans predict that a trial will end with votes on either acquitting or convicting him. Duh. I bet it will, too. It'll probably acquit him or convict him. Duh. Figure this out. But that's intelligent now. That's our leadership right there at its finest. I mean, they're either going to vote to acquit him or convict him. Now, that is some strong reasoning ability, is it not? But Trump revived talk of trying to dismiss articles over the weekend, saying the Senate was giving credence to the allegations against him by having a trial. And I'm not going to get into reasons why or why not I think this trial is necessary. Personally, I don't, but that's beside the point. I'm just amazed, though, that this chaotic, insane kindergarten behavior of our so-called most leaders, that are supposed to be some of the elite and most intelligent people in the nation, are going down this route and have been elected, trying to find some way to get rid of him. So we'll have to see what happens. And on that, I think it's interesting, but I think the Republicans are right. He's going to be convicted or not. I mean, the silliness of that is unbelievable. I mean, anyway, let's move on. And again, folks, this is the reasoning from our leaders. Now, pre-crime and minor reporters, Pompeo lied about Soleimani's imminent attacks. Listen to this. This is by Daniel McAdams of the Ron Paul Institute. Trump's neoconservative Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is a man unafraid to admit to being a liar. Folks, we just took a man's life. And what I've found about the man, he was a strong ally with the United States in fighting against ISIS in Syria and other places. He was on our side. That's really the truth. I mean, check it out for yourself. What was the reason behind this? I really don't know. Except I'm convinced that Israel wanted him gone. And Trump is a blind, uninformed supporter of Israel, no matter what. But anyway, there's most Christians in this country are. In fact, he seems to revel in his ability to lie to the American people. Remember just a week ago when Pompeo told us that the U.S. absolutely had to send in a drone to assassinate Iran's top general Qasem Soleimani while he was in Iraq on a peace mission because he was planning imminent attacks on U.S. personnel and interests in the Middle East. Now, folks, he was in Iraq on a peace mission. Now, this is admitted. But he had to be taken out because he had planning for imminent attacks on U.S. personnel and interests in the Middle East. These claims were crafted to blunt any criticism of the blatantly illegal act of killing a top military officer of a country with which you are not at war, in a third country which forbade the attack on the soil with which you are allied. Americans raising concerns about the murder of Soleimani were to be made to look unpatriotic if they objected. You mean you want Americans to die? That's, folks, this is the same tactic used every time those who oppose unjust, unconstitutional wars are treated like traitors. You know that. That's how propaganda works. Then when the smoke clears, you laugh it all off and admit it was all a lie, as Pompeo did last night. Speaking of the Laura Ingraham program, Mike Pompeo admitted, now pay attention, that the neocon idea of imminent and the normal idea of imminent are two very different things. We don't know precisely when, and we don't know how precisely where the attacks might take place. But it was real, he told Ingraham. But if you don't know when, you don't know where, and presumably don't know how, on what basis did Pompeo and Trump administration sell the idea that he had to be killed immediately, just lest untold numbers of Americans be killed? Folks, this is absolutely phenomenal. Pompeo, Secretary of State, said, well, we have to take him out. He's in imminent danger. But we don't really know where or when or how he's going to do it. But he's imminent. It's imminent. We've got to take him out. That makes about as much sense as Republicans saying, well, Trump's either going to lose or win in the Senate. That makes sense, doesn't it? Either way, they're going to get it right. With this, I guess, if you figure, well, it could happen. It may happen. Don't know how. Don't know when. But let's take him out anyway. Now, that is absolutely one of the most asinine things I've ever heard, but nothing new, considering that Johnson lied against the Vietnam War, Roosevelt lied against in World War II, and it goes on beyond, far beyond that, in many different places. So you tell me exactly how this is supposed to work. It's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing how we see this happening, and the people in America shrug their shoulders, go back to watching whatever's on TV, and don't worry about it. Trump tells Iraq, if they order U.S. troops out, I'll freeze your central bank's account at the Fed. President Trump's actions in the Middle East are becoming increasingly unhinged. A week ago, he nearly triggered a catastrophic war with Iran and the U.S. when acting seemingly on a whim or in a response to the advice of two of his nuttier advisors, fundamentalist Christian rapture believers Mike Pence and Mike Pompeo, he ordered the assassination by drone of the commander of the Iran military, Hossein Soleimani. Now, folks, I am a fundamentalist Christian. I am. I truly am. I believe the Bible is the Word of God, unerring, infallible, immutable. I do believe that, and I try to live and preach it. But we have to think beyond what the church has been lied to about in this nation for years. Well, let's move on. Fortunately for American troops, sailors, and pilots, and for all of us and the people of Iran, saner heads in the administration seems to have gotten to Trump. And also, fortunately, Iran's military responded in measured fashion. As a result, the threat of a major war between the two countries seems to have been receded a bit, at least for now. I'll make a comment here also. I said that if Iran was going to rain down fire and brimstone on America and its assets, and that's what they said he's going to do, and the people were out in the streets by the hundreds of thousands angry over what we did to their military leader, if what they did is all they got, it's a good thing they quit. They've been wiped out in a day. If what they get to shot back at us is all they have to shoot back with us with, and if they're no more accurate than what they could be with that, if they hit nobody, hurt no one, what a farce. I believe, in my opinion, they were told if they don't hit anything, we'll let this slide. I think that's what happened. Except, of course, that the airliner being shot down by a missile, mistake or whatever. Now the people in Iran are angry about that. They're not angry at America or Israel anymore. They're mad at their leaders. Let's move on. Then today, Trump, in response for a call by Iraq's parliament and its prime minister, Adel Abdul Mahdi, for the U.S. to withdraw all its 5,100 troops currently stationed in Iraq, declared he would not remove them. He added that if forced to pull them out of the country by Iraq, would freeze a deposit of Iraq's central bank at the U.S. Federal Reserve, preventing Iraq from increasing or accessing what the Wall Street Journal reports amount to a deposit balance of some $3 billion at the end of 2018. You know, to Iraq, that's a huge amount of money. $3 billion. I know to our country, it's spit. It means nothing. They spend that much on a trip to Florida and back. Or overseas to waste their time or tax dollars. Nonetheless, maybe it's to Iraq, it's a lot of money, but I don't think so. I don't think that's what's going to keep them in line with Trump threatening to freeze their assets of $3 billion when the country has got oil and many other resources that they can back up what they want to do with. I can't see that making a big difference. Can you? I don't think you can. I don't think anybody can. $3 billion on the world scene is nothing. Back at the break, folks, a lot more to talk about. Don't go away.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
All righty, folks, we are back again. This is Pastor Butch Paul Film from Melody Cedarstrom. We're back with you next week, I'm sure. I'm sure looking forward to seeing her. I know I am. I really am. You know what she does on this program 5 days a week takes a lot of effort. Unless you've done radio and have prepared broadcasts 5 days a week, you may not understand what it takes to do it. You don't just go out in 5 minutes, find the news, come and report it. You don't just interview a guest at a whim, so to speak. You got to have some material put together. And that doesn't happen easily. And planning broadcasts, even when I have guests in my program, you got to find a guest, book the guest a week or two in advance, and get things worked out. Radio is time consuming. It really is. And I know Melody offers her time to try to educate people and help them understand the needs, the need to plan for their future. You know, you would think that would be something we'd all want to do, but unfortunately, I'm going to say this, and it's probably a low figure, but I'd say 80% of Americans have no plan for retirement. They have no savings, no, except for Social Security, no plans at all, perhaps, maybe a small pension, but they have no money put back, nothing to plan for in retirement, and that's a sad statement, but I'm certain that's a low number, probably closer to 90%. Because today, saving money, even if you try, can be very difficult. But most people are not disciplined enough to do that, even if they can. I've found that in most cases, the more they make, the more they spend, and they never seem to plan for the future. It's just live for now, let tomorrow take care of itself, which is not really a wise thing to do. I worked in sales myself, still do part-time actually, for 40-some years. And I've had paychecks come in when nothing moved. I've had paychecks literally worked out right to the, after all the deducts, your insurance and everything, my check was 0.00, and I'm telling you the truth. That's happened about 2 or 3 times to me. But I had enough sense to know when things were good and things were booming to put some money back. Because I had 5 mouths to feed, count myself, 3 growing boys, my helpmate, and myself. And other bills to pay. So I had to plan ahead. I just couldn't spend what I had because I had extra. These are things, folks, you need to do if you're wise to prepare for what's going to happen or could happen in the future. You know, God forbid someone out there now making a decent living and he or she gets hurt, sick, whatever, and can't produce. And no matter what kind of insurance you may have, they're not going to make up the difference. They're not going to pay you a full paycheck for you to stay home to get better. Think about those things, please. Fed adds $82 billion to financial markets. Folks, this is going on and on and on. The Federal Reserve has been adding large amounts of short-term liquidity to markets since September. Big banks' demand for longer-term Federal Reserve liquidity flared up again on Tuesday. The Federal Reserve Bank of New York said it intervened twice via repurchasing agreements or repos. Eligible banks draw $47 billion in overnight liquidity from the central bank, less than the $120 billion the Fed was willing to provide. But the 14-day repo saw banks offer the Fed $43.2 billion in securities against the Federal Fed's $35 billion gap. Collectively, the Fed added $82 billion of temporary liquidity to the financial system. On Monday, the Fed added $60.7 billion to overnight liquidity. And folks, think about that. That's about $141 or $2 billion in 2 days. They're well over the $6 trillion mark since September, pumping money into the banks, into the markets, to keep them afloat. Banks are not viable. They are not financially secure. They are not solid at all. If the Fed did not pump more money into them every night, they would fold. Over $6 trillion since September has went into the banks to keep them afloat. And yet we sit back and wonder, what can happen? What can possibly go wrong with a system that has to keep pumping money into the banks that we all thought was there to supply us with what we needed, a place to get loans, a place to put money into that would be safe and I'm going to say draw interest, but they don't draw much interest today, that's for sure. Things that we thought were going to be there from now on are on very shaky ground. Banks are really not profiting in a sense that they're keeping money in the system. They're not. Oh, I'm sure they're making money in all different ways, and who knows how much fraud is going on in the banking system. But when you put over $6 trillion into the banking system and keep it running, and by 4 months, that's not a good sign. You know that. A gentleman named Jim Rogers warns of a horrible time ahead. He said, this is insanity. We're heading into a horrible time ahead. Now, this is not to scare you, folks. This is not coming from me or Melody or some kind of, fanatic doomsdayer. These are actually people in the know who are trying to set up a way of explaining us what's going to happen in the future. The Fed has increased its balance sheet. Now, pay attention, folks. The Fed has increased its balance sheet over 500% in the past decade. Did you hear that? Over 500% since 2010. The Bank of Japan is printing money to buy bonds and stock ETFs. The European Central Bank is mired in insane negative interest. According to legendary investor Jim Rogers, they will continue this madness as long as it's necessary. And folks, it seems to be very necessary right now. We have to keep pumping money into the system. But how long can you pump money into a system that's already overly inflated and going to blow anyway? How long can you keep it afloat when it's leaking so fast? Yet it's expanding at such a rapid rate. In an interview with RT's Bloom Bus, Rogers claims that interest rates around the world have never been this low. This is insanity. That's not how sound economic systems are supposed to work. In 2008, Rogers notes that we had problems because of too much debt. However, since then, the debt has skyrocketed everywhere and it's going to get higher and higher. We're going to have a horrible time when this all comes to an end. Adding that, eventually the market is going to say, we don't want this, we don't want to play this game anymore, we don't want your garbage paper money anymore. When that happens, Rogers warns, that central banks will print even more and buy even more assets. And that's when we will have very serious problems. We are going to pay a horrible price someday, but in the meantime, it's a lot of fun for a lot of people. Yeah, it is. It is. And he said it's going to get a lot worse in his lifetime. Now, folks, that is not a good thing to have to say, but what should he do? Should he lie to us? Right now, it looks good. It looks good on paper, doesn't it? I mean, the Fed, the markets are hitting record highs, and things are looking rosy. I mean, everybody running for office on the Democratic side are promised all of us free health care and free education. And, oh, my, what could be wrong with that? Nothing wrong. I mean, there's nothing wrong. Even though the Fed's went up 500% and more in debt in the last 10 years, what's a big deal, right? What's a big deal? It's just all going to be free to us. Nobody's got to pay for it. I mean, nobody's got to pay for it. It's free. It's free. I mean, gee, folks, them are federal dollars. They're free. Nobody has to pay taxes to get that. Nobody pays into that. It's all just given to us out of thin air. And really, in a sense, it is, but they charge us interest on anyway. So when you think the absurdity of this, when we have people who are running for office and are becoming viable candidates that really have a chance of pulling in votes, that believe they can give us everything for nothing and no one's going to pay for it. People, that is the epitome of insanity. That is stupidity beyond words. That absolutely is so insane that there's no words I can think of to explain the thinking of these people. Their minds are warped. If they believe what they're saying, then their minds are warped. They have no concept of financial matters at all. They shouldn't be allowed in office for anything, not even for a dog catcher, much less to run for president. And yet we have people that are going to support them, which shows that the populace in America are dumber than they are. Think about it. How many generations have been lied to by politicians and promised, they promise everything, and they do give us things and benefits, but at whose expense? Not theirs. Who pays for that? Look in the mirror. If you're working, you're paying for it. The sanctuary cities, sanctuary states that allow illegals in by the millions, that draw off our Social Security and eat off our welfare system. Suckers are paying for it. And I was one of those suckers, and you are too. Every time you do what and you work a little bit and you pay into something that you don't want to pay into because it's forced from you, you're paying for illegal, ungodly, and immoral economic plans that are undermining your children's future. But really, who cares, right? As I told you before about the Hezekiah syndrome, I taught that in church years ago. Hezekiah was caught in a gross sin, and Isaiah come and see him and said, because you did this, you're going to lose your kingdom. Your children will be slaves in Babylon. That's what he said. Hezekiah said, well, long as it's not my generation, long as I got it made while I'm alive, to heck with the children and their future. That was his attitude. That's America's attitude the whole day also. Long as I can afford to keep the TV set on, the electricity bill paid, I'm happy. Long as I got a six-pack in the fridge and pizza on the way, I'm happy. That's America's attitude as a whole today. If it weren't, we wouldn't have one person, one individual running president today that would stand a snowball's chance in Hades of making it. They've been laughed off the stage months ago. Obviously, haven't been. And obviously, we're going to see more chaos in the future. 2020, in my prediction, not prophecy, but prediction, is going to be, I'm going to say it right up, a hell of a year in this country. In a lot of different ways. It truly is. Let's move on. 12 signs that the economy is seriously slowing down as 2020 begins. Lost in all the headlines about Iran and impeachments is the fact that the U.S. economic slowdown, which began during the latter stages of last year, appears to be accelerating. Now, folks, why do you think they keep us on our eyes on the impeachment and Iran and all the other things? What are they hiding behind the scenes? What's going on they don't want us to see with all these smoke screens? The final numbers will tell us if we are officially in a recession at the moment. At this moment won't be released until months from now. But for millions upon millions of Americans, it definitely feels like one has already started. Yes, the stock market has been soaring, but at this point, the stock market has become completely divorced from economic reality. I got to repeat that. The stock market has been soaring. But at this point, the stock market has become completely divorced from economic reality. Wow, so very well put. As you will see that later in this article, stock prices are now the most overvalued that they've ever been in all of American history. Did you hear that? But the following 12 signs the economy is seriously slowing down as 2020 begins. The U.S. Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index has been in contraction for the last 5 months in a row and is now at the lowest level we have seen since June 2009. Remember what happened back then? Last month, manufacturing employment fell at the fastest pace we have seen since August 2009. Last month, new manufacturing orders fell at the fastest pace we have seen since April 2009. Chicago PMI has been contracting for 4 months in a row. European manufacturing PMI declined again in December. Board and Dairy, one of the largest dairy companies in the entire world, declared bankruptcy just a few days ago. Think about that. Earlier this month, the Baltic Dry Index had its worst day in 6 years. Overall, the decline in the Baltic Dry Index this month is the largest that we have seen since 2008. Folks, go back to 2008 if you remember that. What happened then? The auto recession just continues to get even worse. Thanks to the substantial slowdowns we witnessed during the second half of 2019, the total number of cars and trucks sold in the United States during all of 2019 was actually below the level that we witnessed back in 2000 when our population was significantly smaller. Used heavy-duty truck prices have fallen as much as 50%. Used heavy-duty truck prices have fallen as much as 50%. Mesa just announced that they'll be closing 28 stores. To start the year, AT&T is laying off thousands of workers. According to Robert Reck, those being laid off will have to train their foreign replacements. Did you hear that? They're laying off Americans, bringing in foreign replacements, and the people that are going to be laid off are going to train them. Is that a slap in the face or what? Of course, many of the experts continue to assure us that everything will be just fine. Oh, people, what kind of evidence do we need to see what's coming down? I don't know when it's all going to go under. And it's been collapsing for ever since 1933. All we've had booms and busts, I know that. But the dollar has been dropping in value since 1933 when the gold was taken off as a standard behind the dollar. And when silver was taken out in 1964, the dollar really started inflating. Economies don't generally drop overnight. Not until that point gets so high that they have hyperinflation to the point that everything is out of reach and nothing will buy them. It's happened so many all over the world, folks, many, many, many times. Germany, Zimbabwe, Venezuela, over and over and over again. Nations who had trusted in man's ideas on wealth and fiat currencies have ended in total destruction and chaos. And guess who pays the price? Not the leaders of the country. They've insulated themselves against this kind of stuff. They're, no matter what happens, they're going to be fine. It's people like you and I, the peons, who pay the ultimate price. And your children and grandchildren pay that price. If you don't plan for the future, folks, it's going to bite you. 800-375-4188 to call and talk to Melody or talk to Carla now. While Melody's still on vacation, she'll back again, I think, this coming Friday. She'll back and probably back on the air with us next week. And I have missed her being here, really have. She's a fun person to work with on the radio. But I'm sharing all of this with you to try to make you understand how serious the situation is. After the break, I'm going to talk to you about your unfunded government liabilities. Our ticking time bomb. Don't go away. I need to hear it just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
All right, folks, we're back. Final segment for this today's broadcast. Man, this will by fast. It really does. I had D.V. Kidd on my program last night. Talk about a sharp little lady. She really is. And she shared some things that I thought was, well, outstanding and not good news. But nonetheless, we still shared it. I want to share some of that with you today. Unfunded our ticking time bomb. This article is a little bit lengthy, but I want to share it because it's very important. I hope this will make you stop and think about what I'm telling you to the point that you may think beyond today and tomorrow. Tick, tick, tick goes the time bomb of national doom. Every second the ticking grows louder, but you won't hear that muffled sound that's more akin to white noise. Across all media platforms, the threat goes largely unreported. Perhaps the consequences are unfathomable to discuss in 90 second news segments sandwiched between commercial breaks and panels of talking heads. Members of Congress from both parties are also deaf to the ticking. Inherently, they know that any attempt to defuse the bomb means they run the risk of being voted out of office. The same is true at the White House, where Donald Trump, like Barack Obama before him, never mentions this impending catastrophe. Among the hordes of 2020 Democratic candidates, count on the time bomb to be a topic non grata, while Medicare for All gains momentum, and Medicare as it remains is a lethal time bomb component. That's what I just said, folks. They won't talk about what's really going on. But they promise more benefits, and they can't pay what they have. The doom of which I speak is unfunded liabilities. Now pay attention. $122 trillion in payments the government owes has promised its citizens without the funds to fulfill these obligations. Did you hear what I said? The government says we're in debt $28 trillion. Counting unfunded liabilities, we're closer to $200 trillion. According to the U.S. Treasury Department, total U.S. unfunded liabilities include Social Security, along with Medicare Parts A, B, and D, federal debt held by the public, plus federal employee and veteran benefits. Before you call me an alarmist, I refer you to the U.S. debt clock. Here you can watch our time bomb tick in real time with that $122 trillion in unfunded liabilities as one of the major fuses. Surely, such an incomprehensible number makes you gasp. But now, get ready to gag, because in the 2023, that debt clock time machine projects unfunded liabilities will be $157 trillion, $35 trillion in only 4 years. Now it's 3 years, folks. We're in 2020 right now. In 2023, 3 years from now, there'll be $35 trillion more in unfunded liabilities in America. How long can they do this? I would wager that a majority of Americans have no concept of what just $1 trillion looks like or even means. I know, folks, it's hard to conceive that. You and I, as normal people, have a hard idea of thinking, hey, we can make $1 million. That's above our heads, is it not? We may understand it in its concept. You may make that much over a lifetime, but to have it dumped in your lap at one time, that's hard to believe in it. For the record, $1 trillion is 1,000 times 1 billion. I know you know that, but just let this sink in a minute. $1 trillion is 1,000 times $1 billion. Oh, my. And since 1 billion is thrown about around Washington like a rounding error, it is intrusive to remember that 1 billion itself is 1,000 times 1 million. Thus, to hammer home the wow factor, today the payments promised by the U.S. are $122 trillion is hard to understand. To better understand why unfunded liabilities continue constitute the least discussed unreported national debt we face, that $122 trillion must be compared to other significant numbers in the U.S. economy. For example, the debt clock displays a federal tax revenue of $3.3 trillion, but spending at $4.2 trillion. This annual imbalance means that not only are we promising too much down the road, we can't cover our current cost, and we fall behind even more every second of the day. Folks, this article is so powerful and right on. This conundrum is reflected in the rising national public debt, defined on the debt clock as the face amount or principal amount of marketable and non-marketable securities concurrently outstanding, which today stands at $21.9 trillion. But in 2023, the debt clock projects the national debt will increase to $25.6 trillion. Certainly, the United States is a generous nation that wants to take care of its people, one quarter of whom are aging baby boomers retiring at the rate of 10,000 a day. Think about that. 10,000 a day. Or 3.5 million a year. But our nation is on an unsustainable economic path, especially when the government is present and future obligations are mandated by law. Make a comment here, too. We murdered roughly 100 million taxpayers in the womb. We brought in 30 to 40 million illegals who live off Social Security that can't afford to pay right now. And we wonder why this is coming about. Consider that in fiscal year 2018, healthcare spending was 27% of the federal budget, and pensions, including Social Security, was 25%. Combined, that 52% of the budget will continue to grow, along with aging population. Meanwhile, there are no efforts in Congress to alter the reckless path, one that severely limits the extent to which we can afford to invest in our collective national future. At least the Congressional Budget Office was honest when in 2018 the report stated, the prospect of large and growing debt poses substantial risk for the nation and presents a policymaker with significant challenges, to say the least. Those sustainable risk and significant challenges are now too politely or politically painful to address and resolve, are baked into the debt bomb and scheduled to explode sooner than you think. As reported last June, Medicare's Hospital Trust Fund is expected to run the money in 2026. Hey, 2020 candidates, we'd be sure to mention this when flacking medical care for all. Furthermore, on our annual Social Security statements, in small print with an asterisk, we are warned that by 2034, payroll taxes collected will be enough to pay only 77% of scheduled benefits. Preceding that line, one reads the most absurd political wishful thinking. Your estimated benefits are based on current law. Congress has made changes to the law in the past, and can do that any time. Sure they will, any time now, folks. No doubt they're going to have to cut it back on something. Guess what's going to be? Not them. They won't cut their salaries, their benefits. No way. They never have. Reducing Social Security benefits, the main driver of unfunded liabilities, will be painful now, but even more painful in 2034 when present inaction forces the crunching cuts. Cue wheelchair and walker rides. Yeah, I think there'll be some protests probably at that. We all know the adage, the first step in solving a problem is admitting that you have a problem. Unfortunately, our elected leaders refuse to publicly admit that our national future is built on financial promises and obligations that our government is incapable of fulfilling. My recommendation is to aim for increased public awareness. At this moment, a government shutdown clock appears continuously on a major cable network. When that crisis ends, what if every news network continuously displayed the $122 trillion unfunded liabilities debt clock, all 15 digits rapidly clicking in time at the same corner of the screen? Perhaps then, when the public fully is aware of the problem, our leaders will be forced into discussing very tough and real solutions followed by legislative action. But doing nothing is not an option. And folks, I got to tell you this. Even if the nation saw that, and even if our government really wanted to make a difference and wanted to save what's left and provide what's needed for those who trust in their benefits for the future, even if they wanted to, they can't. They will never pay $122 trillion of unfunded liabilities. The only thing they can do is just forget it, erase it, and let the consequences be what they are. They can't pay it. It's impossible. If we were paid into it for the eternity, we'd probably never get it all paid off at what's going on right now. So seeing the problem is one thing. Fixing is something totally different. And no matter how many of our leaders see it, no matter how many people of this nation see it and understand it, and they should, they're not going to be able to pay it. It just isn't going to happen. And this next article will, I think, maybe explain some things that could happen in this country soon. Macron abandons plan to raise retirement age, a rock-throwing protester get tear gassed. This could and will eventually happen in America. The move was militant, and the more violent demonstrators once again clashed with the police, even as they sowed a trail of damage through eastern Paris. A bank branch was sacked, and bus shelter smashed and fire set. Unions said 150,000 protests were in the streets of Paris on Saturday. Saturday's demonstrations included an exchange between rock-throwing protesters and the police, who used tear gas, water cannons, and other crowd control measures as the day wore on. At one point, a building was set on fire. The government of France plays a major role in retirement pension, both providing and guaranteeing funds and overseeing the entire system. Folks, that's exactly what's going on in America right now. The government is one to oversee it, and they've lied to us many, many times, and they're still lying to us. The bid to boost retirement age infuriated moderate union Macron relies on, despite his insistence that French citizens need to work longer in order to keep the pension system, which maybe is facing, folks, a huge deficit right now. But he backed down. He had to get the people to shut down, let him be. They were rioting in the streets. Why do we think we're above that in this country? Why do we think this could never happen here? What is it that makes us think that America is so special? You know, the nation did that before us was Israel, reading the Old Testament, even the New Testament. She thought she was, because they said they were God's people, they could do anything they wanted to and goodbye with it, and they'd always be protected. America has the same kind of arrogance about them that the Israelites did. Think about that a minute. Now, the world debt, now let this sink in a minute, the world debt, according to the Institute of International Finance, is estimated to be about $260 trillion. The world debt. Now we have in this country here unfunded liabilities of $122 trillion, which is a debt. So I would think that the world debt's actually far more than that. But if they would pay it off right now, if all 7.7 billion people, men, women, and children, could come up with $32,500 each, we could pay off the world debt of $257 trillion. If every man, woman, child could come up with $32,500 right now, we could pay debt off. Can you see that happening? How many of you could come up with $32,500 right now if you need it right now, other than maybe selling your house or whatever? How many of y'all have got that much money put back in the bank? I'd say very few of us do. But they talk about this like, you know, $260 trillion world debt, when we know ourselves right now that America has $122 trillion unfunded liabilities, not to mention the $28 trillion in debt we are. How real are these numbers? I don't think they're real at all. I don't think people understand that these numbers are actually low. Very low. I guess in a way, some good news, though. China agrees to buy more cars, airplanes, energy from U.S. in phase-run trade deal. Apparently, the trade deal is moving on, I hope. Sources familiar with the phase-one trade deal told Reuters China has agreed to purchase $80 billion of additional manufactured goods from the U.S. over the next 24 months as part of the phase-one trade deal that is expected to be signed on Wednesday. China is preparing to buy $50 billion more in energy products and increase purchase of U.S. services by $35 billion over the next several years, a source told Reuters. Meanwhile, China will increase purchase of U.S. farm goods by $32 billion over the next 24 months, or about $16 billion per year. When added to the $24 trillion export baseline pre-trade war in 2017, the new total is around $40 billion in annual agricultural purchases. President Trump will sign the phase-one agreement with Chinese Vice Premier Lin He as the President Xi Jinping opted not to attend the signing event. Interesting. We'll see. That may be some good news. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. I don't know about that. It could happen. And if it does, it may benefit some farmers that are in badly, bad need of some help. No doubt about it. They need it. One more quick article. Running out of time here. Philippine volcano trembles more, spews lava half mile high. Folks, this is amazing. A volcano near the Philippines capital spewed lava into the sky and trembled constantly Tuesday, possibly portending a bigger and more dangerous eruption as tens of thousands of people fled the villages darkened and blanketed by heavy ice. Anyway, folks, because we're running out of time before we get the time to open that. The spewing of the volcano was spreading fountains of red hot lava a half a mile high into the sky, people. A half a mile high into the sky. Red lava. This is lava. This isn't the dust. This is the lava. Think about that. And folks, they're heating up. The volcanoes are heating up all over the world. And that's a fact. Well, I'll see you Thursday afternoon again, if you don't mind me joining you again. Tomorrow with Dave Allen. You'll have a great evening. I'll talk to you soon.
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.